League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, everybody, welcome in. Hour number two of The Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. I'm Kevin Walsh. I'm joined by Donnie Wrightside. Let's get right into it. Hour 7 and 7, top headlines. The first one, though, is not one I'm happy to bring to the table here. As the Lakers not only lose Game 4 in the Staples Center to the Phoenix Suns, they lose Anthony Davis in the process, already ruled as unlikely for tonight's Game 5 meeting against Phoenix in Phoenix. A big shift in this series, Donnie.
Yeah, if you're a Lakers fan, you need this game because it probably means an extra game that Anthony Davis can sit and get right as they try to get out of this first round series versus the Phoenix Suns. Going to be a tough go here because the Phoenix crowd will be getting after tonight and each and every day. It seems like Chris Paul, Kevin, getting healthier and healthier. Maybe too tall of a mountain to climb for LeBron James.
Yeah, the declaration from CP3, I'm back. In that game there. So I guess CP3 is now good to go. I am very excited, though, to talk about that game here in our second hour. Some positive news, though, for the other Los Angeles team is they've evened up their series with the Dallas Mavericks at 2-2. Other injury news, though, Luka Doncic dealing with some neck issues there, perhaps hampering his play. Only scored 19 points in Game 4 after having 30-plus in the first three games of that series. But Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, Donnie, bringing that series back even as they head to Los Angeles.
From big favorites to big dogs, Kevin, now back to big favorites. The Clippers look to take a strangle on this series to go up 3-2 on their home court playing well. But you're right. We'll see. Luka Doncic says, hey, don't want to blame my performance on a neck injury. But that neck injury, we'll see if it lingers into Game 5. But nice for the Clippers to get back into it. I know a lot of people holding those tickets for an NBA championship certainly like the Clippers back in this series. We'll see how it plays out for Game 5 back in Los Angeles.
More injury news. Boy, this has been a great NBA season, hasn't it? Joel Embiid leaves injured for the Philadelphia 76ers in Game 4, as now the Washington Wizards have forced a Game 5, winning that game there in Washington. Hacka Ben Simmons, all of a sudden, the strategy there, Donnie. And now you have got a situation in which Philly not only has to play an extra game, but they're waiting to find out if they're going to have Joel Embiid available for that game.
Yep, notifications on Twitter right now for Donnie Wrightside for Joel Embiid because we need to get this MRI to come back clear and basically say day-to-day or he's good to go for Game 5. Don't want it up in the air because the worst-case scenario, Kevin, is, hey, Embiid's going for a second opinion on his knee. No! Oh. Come on, Joel. Get a clean bill of health here. Let's go, Sixers.
Yeah, no, nobody wants that. The pro football doc, no. Dr. David Chow, saying that it felt more like an impact slash soreness issue there. So some optimism, I think, around Joel Embiid's availability moving forward. The other game that took place last night in the NBA, the Utah Jazz now take a 3-1 series lead, beating the Memphis Grizzlies in Memphis once again by a final score of 120 to 113. Donovan Mitchell leading the way with 30 points in that victory. As we welcome the radio audience into the fold, we appreciate all those listening on Sports Grid Radio to The Early Line. Donnie, the Jazz now up 3-1, and in the series they've yet to lose with Donovan Mitchell available for them.
Exactly. Get Donovan Mitchell back in the lineup. Three straight wins. Looks like it's probably going to be four straight wins as the Utah Jazz look to close out the Memphis Grizzlies. Good on the Grizzlies, though, for even making it to this part of the season. This valuable experience of being in the playoffs for John Morant and the crew, that'll help them down the road, but not this year. Better team, Utah Jazz. They'll close it out, and they'll move on.
In the soccer world, Chelsea, winners of the Champions League final, once again beating Manchester City there, perhaps having Pep Guardiola's number. A 1-0 final, Kai Havertz with the 42nd minute goal there, crowns Chelsea as the champions of Europe.
All Chelsea needed was one goal in that game to move forward. I think they'll take it each and every time. Some of us, Kevin, would have liked to have seen a 3-2 final, but that's neither here nor there. Nice win for the Champions League for Chelsea, raising the trophy as they move forward. Great win.
Just even, you know, 1-1, both teams to score. A little
one,
help.
1-1, yeah. On a little suspense.
Couldn't get it. In the world of tennis, Naomi Osaka, superstar, withdraws from the French Open. Some issues with her and the French Open about her media availability, saying that she did not want to speak with the media, citing mental health issues there, ultimately deciding it was best for her, Donnie, to withdraw from the French Open.
And we'll see how this pertains to future tournaments, not just majors, but to the future of women's tennis. It was a nice little letter that she did write. It wasn't striking. It wasn't anger headed towards the French Open. But you could see a clear train of thought here saying, hey, look, I'm just not in the right mental state right now. Let me get refreshed and ready. I'll see you down the line. I think she handled it very well. We'll see how the tennis world handles these types of situations moving forward, Kevin.
In the Stanley Cup playoffs, a 3-1 lead blown, a 3-1 final sees the Montreal Canadiens eliminate the Toronto Maple Leafs, whose postseason woes continue.
It's amazing stuff because you're taking a look at Toronto. It's been so long since they've won, and this may have been the year. 3-1 lead against one of your rivals. You blow it. Oh, pain and suffering for the Maple Leaf fans, Kevin.
And losing John Tavares early in that series certainly did not help. All right, we take a break. We come back. It's Major League Baseball time here on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on the Early Line. Time to break into some Major League Baseball. And today is June 1st, so, you know, we are now third of the way into the season. Every team probably playing almost 60 games now, certainly above 50 for these teams. And I think it's a good point in time for us to not only look at the big headlines coming out of the weekend, but I think we can really look at some of these divisions, Donnie, compare it up, line it up with the division winner prices on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and get a sense of perhaps is there some value, some stuff for us to circle and keep an eye on. And I think it's very appropriate to start in the American League East, because right now the Yankees are plus 125, and not far behind them are the Tampa Bay Rays at 2-1 to win the American League East. The Rays just beat the New York Yankees, handing them their fourth consecutive loss. The Tampa Bay Rays never lose and currently are up 5 games in the loss column, Donnie, on the New York Yankees.
It's amazing when you look at it, particularly in the AL East, because we're taking a look at some odds boost here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, which you can get as much as 4-1 on the Yankees to win the division. But if you're looking at real-time odds right now, the Yankees still the favorite at plus 125. So, Kevin, I ask you as a Yankees fan, am I missing something here? Yes, they're 5.5 back. Yes, we do have 4 months left in the Major League Baseball season. But nothing has shown me that the Yankees are going to snap back and out of it. But the one good thing for content purposes, each and every day, it seems like, Kevin, I'm able to go to the FanDuel Sportsbook and by the sixth inning, get the Yankees team total at 1. Paid out for me on Sunday, pushed for me on Monday. What is going on with this mega lineup that seemingly can't put a hit back-to-back together to score some runs? Yeah. It's either a solo home run or nothing. Baffled by the Yankees early in the season, but time keeps on slipping on the New York Yankees. 5.5 back. They got to make up some ground here shortly.
Yeah. The only team in the American League that has scored fewer runs than the Yankees is the Detroit Tigers, who just swept the New York Yankees. I just don't even know what we're doing here. Now, I got to tell you, as much as I'd love to come in here today and blame all of this on pathetic umpiring, which has remained pathetic throughout this season, and the fact that a clear third strike that was going to end the game and hand the Yankees the first game of that series elongated an at-bat. And by the way, this was an egregious miss. Not close. An egregious miss. Ultimately, though, did it seemingly defeat the Yankees a little bit? Sure. Does it justify not being able to grab a game off of the Detroit Tigers? No, not really. And this is a lineup that right now is basically as bad as baseball is offering, which is pretty impossible to wrap your head around here. The pitching is good. You know, the interesting thing with the Yanks, Donnie, is we've said, don't worry, they'll get it right. And that happened early in the season, and they got it right. I think the better question is Tampa Bay. They've won 16 out of 17 games. They don't lose, Donnie. And I don't know what to say. They're a team, you and I, we enter in-game lives or in-play sports, and we're like, we don't talk about the Rays. They're not good. They do not lose, Donnie. It's unbelievable.
35-20 on the season. You're right, buoyed by that huge run, but they do it sort of anonymously. It's not unbelievable starting pitching that you see out on the mound each day. They don't have a phenomenal name in the bullpen that comes in and shuts it down. You're looking at the lineup. Most average baseball fans wouldn't be able to pick out or say more than one or two names in that lineup to begin with. Mm-hmm. They just get it done by winning fundamental baseballs, particularly most of the time, lower scoring games, but it's not surprising to me every single year. Maybe a couple years ago, Kevin, hey, look at this, lightning in a bottle for the Tampa Bay Rays. Not the case anymore. It's no longer surprising to me that they are a really good baseball club, because even with the players that they seemingly let go each and every year, they always rebound with somebody from their minor league system, a lower level payroll team in Major League Baseball that handles their business time and time again in first place. And I don't see them folding up shop. Now, 4 months left to go in the season, you're going to get some good runs from the Red Sox and probably still the Yankees and also from the Toronto Blue Jays. But boy, oh boy, every year, we can't say it's a fluke anymore for the Rays.
No, it's true. I don't think I'd be running to bet the Rays at 2-1, but I'm also not running to bet the Yankees at +125. The AL Central, the biggest favorite in Major League Baseball to win their respective division, is the Chicago White Sox at -390. Cleveland is +380 as your second choice. The Royals and deeper, 14-1 or better. The White Sox, it is a 10.5 game lead. Hold on a second here. I have this organized by runs scored. It is a 3.5 game lead. Boy, Minnesota is further down that board than I was like, what am I looking at here? It's a 3.5 game lead there for the Chicago White Sox, but we know that they are the better team. And considering that Minnesota was really supposed to be the ones to apply pressure, Donnie, the White Sox feel like the surest thing in baseball this year as far as the division winner goes.
Yeah, because you look at the Cleveland Indians, not an actual star-packed lineup, you know, losing Francisco Lindor, saving on some payroll, losing some of their top-flight pitching. But even when you look down the list here, it's surprising to me, the Kansas City Royals hitting at 26-26, okay, but behind them, the Minnesota Twins, and far behind them, 22-31 on the season. They have good starting pitching. They have a decent bullpen, at least on paper before the season. They have a really good lineup that should be able to hit. That's one of the more astonishing things, because coming into the season, Kevin, the two teams we figured that would take shape here in the Central was the White Sox and the Twins fighting it out. Looks like the Twins have already given up, and it looks like the White Sox are on their way. Great starting pitching, exciting electric lineup for the White Sox, and a pretty good bullpen. We'll just see if Tony La Russa can stay out of the way and keep an even keel in that locker room for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, it is, you know, maybe the best team in the American League. It's like, should they fire this guy? It's a very interesting situation there in Chicago, to say the least. Let's at least get to the last American League division here in this segment, as the A's are a half game up on the Astros, though a game back in the loss column when you look at these squads right now. The Astros are the division favorites, but only at minus 125. It's plus 105 for Oakland. You can tell there is a huge gap between those two teams and the rest of them in the way that they are priced. What stands out to me, Donnie, in the run differential category, it is minus 11 Oakland, plus 57, the third best in the American League there for the Houston Astros.
Yeah, if we're taking a look at the Astros at minus 125, you're only a half game back in the standings. I think the pedigree of that team is better than the Oakland Athletics. I like the Oakland Athletics lineup, don't get me wrong, but when you're looking from a championship perspective, the lineup I trust more certainly would be the Astros. But taking a look down in this, I think we expected the Texas Rangers to be 22-33. We always know the Angels to be hovering somewhere around 500, but obviously sitting there 24-30. Kudos to the Seattle Mariners for being 28-27 from a team we thought would be dead in the water and completely, you know, uncompetitive throughout the summer in Major League Baseball. They're hanging around. We'll see how much longer it takes here. But from the two top-end teams, this is about what we expected, right? Dogfight for the rest of the summer between the Astros and the Athletics, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and to carry this over to the American League overall, the Yankees are plus 270 to win the pennant. The White Sox are plus 370. 7-1 on Houston. Oakland is 8-1. And then you enter that 10-1 range on Boston, Tampa Bay, and Toronto. And we have an odds boost right now, Donnie, if you want, on the Yanks to win the American League pennant. Plus 270, now 4-1. You and I were joking. This is probably the number it should be.
Kev, throw another number. Throw another zero behind the Yankees, and I might be able to jump in today because it's funny looking at the odds boost, which we usually like to jump in and get them right away, but how poorly the Yankees are playing. Like, maybe tomorrow that odds boost goes up even higher for the Yankees, but some interesting doings in New York. We expect that lineup to get it together, them to pitch and them to add pieces if they need them by midsummer, but boy, oh boy, they look really bad right now, Kev.
I cannot believe that the Yankees are going to get to the deadline and need a bat. That's where we are with the Yankees, is that they're going to need to add hitting.
Wow.
Unbelievable. All right, we take a break. We come back. We'll update you on the National League standings and also get you set for tonight's NBA board. Keep it here early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid. Running through the Major League Baseball standings right now, as it is June 1st, an important point here, a little marker in the baseball season, getting a sense of what the odds look like. It'll be fun to look back on this, maybe post-trade deadline, and see how things have developed here. We've hit the American League. Let's go to the National League right now. The New York Mets are the minus 210 favorites to win the NL East, plus 290 on the Braves. The Phils, 10-1. Washington is 20-1. The Marlins are 30-1. We're starting to maybe see things take shape here. The Mets have a 3.5 game lead up on the Braves. The games played, though, is all over the place in this division. The Mets have a 6-game lead in the loss column over the next closest team in the Atlanta Braves. Donnie, like, the Mets are so weird. I feel like the conversation around this team is often so negative, and yet here they are, huge favorites to win the NL East.
Sign of a good organization right now, and obviously with an ownership change, maybe that captain of the ship has also, you know, taken the reins here, because when we're looking overall at this Major League Baseball team, Lindor hasn't played well. McCann hasn't played well. They were two major offseason additions. It seems like the entire offense is banged up and or missing pieces, and yet they continue to win, even with the stint with Jacob deGrom on the IL as well. This bodes really well for them over the summer, because when they get healthy, they're not going to get worse. They're only going to get better. It looks like the Atlanta Braves probably will challenge them for the division championship. That's a great lineup for the Braves, but their starting pitching staff leaves a lot to be desired. Then my Philadelphia Phillies just, you know, rudderless in the water out here, no direction whatsoever. Maybe Bryce Harper comes back and gives them a jolt, but they're bad at very many outlets here. The 1-8 lineup doesn't look good. Starting pitching is only as good as Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler would take them. A very average bullpen. And also take a look at the bottom feeders here, the Marlins and the Nationals. The Nationals 21-29, even with the big three pitchers in their lineup, don't look like they're going to be holding up throughout the summer. It's the Mets division to win for me, Kevin. Just too strong, big pocketed owner, and if they need help at the deadline, much like the Yankees, they'll go out and get it.
Yeah, no doubt. I just realized you can parlay division winners within the league. So you could like parlay the Mets and the Dodgers at +118. Each would have to win the division. Little interesting nugget there. The Cardinals are NL Central favorites at +110. The Brewers are +145. And the Cubbies right now are +550, sitting in first place. The only team with a positive run differential as well at +32. All of a sudden, Donnie, their bullpen untouchable. And the Chicago Cubs are 7 games above .500.
How about the Cubs coming into the season? You know, fans angry out there. Big market, but sort of cutting back and trying to restructure for the future. Chris Bryant having a sensational year. And it is surprising to me to see the Cubs at 30-23 at top of the division. St. Louis Cardinals, I think probably the deepest team here in the division, defensively, offensively, and as well as starting pitching and bullpen. Milwaukee Brewers sort of creeping around 29-25. We'll see if their front-end pitching holds up along with their bullpen in order to get some timely hitting. Because looking outside of Yelich, it's not a great lineup that the Brewers run out there each and every night and then bring up the rear. The Reds are always a fun team to bet when healthy because they can hit in that small ballpark. Mm. And then, of course, the Pittsburgh Pirates, 20-33, about what we expected. But taking a look at Chicago Cubs, surprising to me, I do think the Cardinals are the cream of the crop and they'll rise here, Kevin, over the summer for that.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are the better team. I'd much rather bet the Cubs than the Brewers, though, when I consider those two prices here. The NL West, and then we'll mention a couple of games on today's board. The Dodgers are -210. I get it, because they're supposed to be the best team in baseball. The Padres are +155. The Giants are 18-1. You know, it's interesting, though, but the Giants actually just went to Dodger Stadium and, you know, ended up taking 3 out of 4 in impressive fashion. And I'm not positive the Padres aren't the best team in baseball. They have the best run differential in baseball. Man, Donnie, if you offered me other versus that Dodgers team, I still might take it here. I certainly am not laying -210. I'll tell you that.
I mean, look at the -210, certainly as a favorite to win the division. But we see a team after 2 months. That is in first place, the San Francisco Giants, Kevin, on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. Yeah. 18-1 to win that division, which is amazing. You're talking about run differentials here. +69 for the Giants. Padres, +81. Dodgers, +73. Three teams that'll be battling all summer long, 2 months into it, still a first-place team getting an 18-1 number. But I agree with you here. Because, hey, Bellinger's coming back. You know, Betts looks like he's healthy again. That lineup is going to be tough to beat, and one that we anticipated would have won the division from day one. But the Padres, ultra-talented, but kudos to the Giants here for still hanging around. Maybe they're not just getting lucky here, Kevin. Maybe they really are a good baseball team.
Yeah, it's that little four-game set in Dodger Stadium was jarring, in my opinion. Don, let me just quickly bring up a couple of games from today's baseball board here. The Yankees-Rays, it feels very important because you've got Glass now going. He's a -126 road favorite against Domingo Germán. The total is 8. Look, you know, you and I are both overbetters, but the Yankees just continually are cashing under tickets here. George Kurtz is someone who, you know, we've talked to about the Yankees before on this program on In Play Sports Night. He goes, look, if they at any point give me a reason to bet the over, sure, I'll do it. They just haven't. They're the best under team in baseball right now, Donnie. Glasnow and Herman are solid arms as well.
I mean, what are we trusting today? Look at Glasnow in the season, Kevin. 3.15x fifth number. And maybe in the worst nightmares of the Yankees, a 36% strikeout rate Glasnow to batters this year. So we take a look at the Yankees from a right-handed perspective, being Glasnow being a righty. Look at the strikeouts in this lineup to righties. Stanton, 34%. Judge, 28%. Odor, 26%. Sanchez, 28%. Frazier, 24%. Gardner, 24%. Is this one of those nights, Kevin, where we're sitting here on In Play Sports Tonight going, hey, Kev, Six inning. Good. Team total for the Yankees, +110. It could happen once again tonight. It's not a great matchup for the Yankees, yeah. Which it seems like daily. The Yankees, not a great matchup at the plate.
It's not good. It's not good. It's less than ideal. Shane Bieber's on the mound tonight for Cleveland. They're -146 favorites over the Chicago White Sox here. Sonny Gray, Aaron Nola will be meeting in Cincinnati. That game is essentially a pick'em. No total just yet at Wrigley Field, where Hendricks is going to take on Weathers in a Cubs-Padres showdown here. Night slate offering up Dodgers-Cardinals, which is a fun one. Donnie, I know it's early, but are there any baseball games that you're looking at right now? You see maybe some names there as listed starters that you might potentially be targeting?
Yeah, one of those, which is a really high number today. I know it's a little bit of juice. It's 5.5 as a team total for the Minnesota Twins. I believe right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, that is at a plus money number. But think about that, Kevin. You need 6 runs to cash that team total, which you're not at Coors Field. But maybe the closest thing to Coors Field is down in Baltimore, and that's Zimmerman, the lefty, going to be on the mound. The profiling of the lineup for the Minnesota Twins, where they can stack right-handed batters, which the anticipated lineup tonight, Kevin, out of 9 eligible batters, 8 of those coming from the right-hand side, and all of them this year doing major damage versus lefties. Minnesota should eat tonight, Kevin, and eat well. The question, though, is always, can they get the 6 runs? You know what? I think they can.
It's an interesting number there. It's a big number, but it's certainly one to follow here. All right, let's start to break a little bit into tonight's NBA board. We'll start with the Nets-Celtics game here. 12.5 is the number that Brooklyn is laying. The total is up to 233. Kemba Walker, seemingly unlikely to play in this game, missed the last one. Robert Williams, who is pretty good for Boston in that first game, this has gone under the radar. He is also very likely to be missing this game here as well. It is a huge, huge number, Donnie, of 12.5. But as they head back home, Boston, it's almost a shame that Boston is not going to get another home game there, because what they've done at home has been consistent. It's at least 40 points from Tatum, and it's 125 points as a team. That was not only true in both games of this series, but it was true over the final 8 games of this season, playoffs and play-in included, during to close out that home stand there for them. Heading back to Brooklyn, I have really no confidence in this team in Boston. Could they hang around the 12.5? Maybe, but I'm not sure I trust them.
I don't trust them either. And you're taking a look. That is a really big number in a closeout spot, which you saw them give their best effort in Game 3, just not enough in Game 4, Kevin. And you also saw 140-plus points scored. I mean, they did whatever they wanted to do. I think that does continue here in Brooklyn. So my question would be in this game, which way are we going to lead in? Because I'm not one of the impressions, hey, look, I can't wait to lay a -12.5 number here on the Brooklyn Nets tonight, even though I do think they win. But I'm looking at that total number. The series seems to be at a great pace for over numbers, but my question coming in now is, we have a closeout situation. Is this one of those games where, boy, you know, Tatum drops 40 in Game 4, we got blown out of the building at home, now we go over to Brooklyn? Do we already see the writing on the wall that now the series is over? Are we giving our best effort here? Because we've seen a couple times, even let's just say the Miami Heat in a closeout scenario, draw dead in the second half. I can see that here. If we're going to get a runaway victory from the Nets, I'm not so sure it's the Celtics saying, hey, let's drop 120 points and at least make it formidable in a 135-120 type game. Crazy, but I'm leaning towards the under 233 in this game so far today. But I do think the Nets get a closeout victory here in Game 5 in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think you're on to something here with the under. I really worry about Boston on the road. I think this could be a blowout. It makes me worry about props as well. This is why we laid 2.5 games in this series at about a -140 number. That -900, we have it -140. Good enough for me. We take a break. We come back. More NBA talk on the other side.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're right back here on the early line, about 20 minutes left on the clock, an opportunity for us to break still down today's three-game NBA board here. Just to put the finishing touches on Nets Celtics here tonight, we've talked about it a lot, we'll continue to talk about it, how a blowout can absolutely crush your chances of cashing over tickets. That is my heavy concern with this game. You see the number is 12.5. Boston has not been able to translate a lot of their offense on the road. We know Kemba Walker is going to be out of this game here. That's my concern. I would be telling folks, bet the Harden over, bet the Durant over. Don't really think twice on some of these numbers. I'm not there as much. If I had to bet a prop here tonight, Donnie, it would be Jason Tatum's under 33.5 points, because he's just not the same player right now outside of TD Garden.
No, you're right. It's very interesting, too, because it seems like he's the only offensive output that can actually, you know, if you're saying the Boston Celtics have to win tonight, which they do, he's going to have a monster night. So it's a great look by you to sort of take that contrarian value, because most people would say, wait a second, Kev, 50? Then 40, well, he's good for at least 35 in this game in a closeout situation where they might get blown out. But as we saw, props go to die in blowouts on both sides, because if we get into 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter in a 24-point game, it automatically slows down. The writing is on the wall. The series is over. Let me not get injured heading into the offseason. We'll see how it plays out. But nice little look there for that 33 points and going on the under spot when most people would say, how do I get Jason Tatum going toward the over today?
Yeah, I would be cautious. Again, he's also right. If it's a blowout, all of a sudden he's just not out there the last five minutes of the game, you can see how that could impact things. And by the way, people might say, oh, if you're so worried about it, why aren't you laying 12.5? We got a blowout of 20, 5 minutes left. Romeo Langford all of a sudden hits a meaningless three and it goes from 15 to 12. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's always a live scenario here. Let's do Lakers-Suns next. Such a big game on tonight's board. Although they're all big games. It's the NBA playoffs. But obviously here, the defending champions up against the ropes. They will become considerable underdogs in this series if they need to win Game 6 and then Game 7 in Phoenix if they're not able to pull it off tonight. They are 5-point dogs in Phoenix. The total, a very low 207.5. The story of this game is Anthony Davis being out and also potentially Chris Paul being back. Donnie, what do you think here as they head back to Phoenix, evened up at 2?
It seems like a must-win for both teams. Looking again at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Phoenix Suns here is a 5-point favorite. And yes, that is an ultra-low 207.5. If we're taking a look from a series perspective here, usually the winner of Game 5 here to take that commanding lead of 3-2 would bode well. But also you're taking a look from a Lakers perspective. I still think this series is probably going to go 7 games, because if the Lakers win here in Game 5, are we rushing Anthony Davis, Kevin, to come back in Game 6? Or say, hey, look, we caught a breather here, and we'll probably need you in Game 7 if we do get there. So some food for thought as you're looking forward if the Lakers do end up winning this game 5. But I take a look at that 207.5 number. Most people say, oh, you know what? Probably lean towards the under. I like the fact that Chris Paul is getting healthier, which will help him on the offensive side. But also, when you take a look at Anthony Davis, it's a direct impact. This is one of the best defensive players in the NBA, Kevin, who's able to run up and down the court in a major mismatch in both scenarios where he is a rim protector. So maybe contrarian value here when most people are looking under to take the over, because from a Lakers side, it's not so much, Kevin, you want to sit back and slow it down and work the ball to AD on the low post and see if he can work in and out on some mismatches here. You're going to have to get a lot more creative, which probably means a lot more three-point shots. And also keep in mind, Ayton from the side of the Suns, he'll be operating against guys like Andre Drummond that should be able to do whatever he wants down low. I think we might get points tonight, Kev. I'm liking the over in this game.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. The question is, one, how the Lakers offense operates without Anthony Davis for a full 48. What do the minutes look like? Is it more Andre Drummond? Does Montrezl Harrell get a call? Is it Marc Gasol possibly stepping up and in? Of course, how many minutes will LeBron be able to go for this game? Went 38 and played the entire fourth quarter in game four. So that's certainly important. The interesting thing with the Lakers is their defense has been a consistent calling card for them, Anthony Davis or not. Again, they had the best defensive rating in the NBA despite missing Anthony Davis for as long as they did. I ultimately think that this is a tremendous game to get involved in the props market on. But from a side, I still do think the Lakers can win this game because I still think that LeBron James is that guy. Now, ultimately, though, for me and for those looking to bet on this game, I don't see a world in which they win this with LeBron James having 24-9-6. Like, it's either he turns it back and goes for 36-11-7, or they lose. I don't really see much of an in-between here, but he also could go for 36-11-7 in a loss. I think the usage will be that high. I think the minutes will be that high. So while I lean not only Lakers plus the five, I do think they win this game. For me, Donnie, I don't want to overthink this. I don't want to overcomplicate things. I'm looking to back LeBron. His points prop is 27.5. He played this Phoenix team this season without Anthony Davis at the Staples Center and put 38 on them. In the fourth quarter of this game, on game four, he had 11 points in the fourth quarter alone. I fully anticipate LeBron in full attack mode here. I don't think he got, game six is at home, game seven, we'll figure it. No. I want game five now. I want to close it out at home. I think LeBron points prop at 27.5 is a must play here tonight on this board.
And I think you're correct, because if we try to play the game out, forget about the final score, and I just tell you, Kevin, 17-8-5 for LeBron James. This sounds like LeBron sat out midway through the fourth quarter in a blowout saying, well, we're just going to put all our chips on game six and try to force a game seven in situation. He has to play well. He has to play big minutes. He knows the eyes of the entire world are on him tonight. He should show out. And usage rate is what you're talking about, meaning if he just doesn't play well but his usage rate is there, that's all you can ask for. If LeBron James is going to come into this game and say, you know what, I'm going to make sure I'm going to be the point guard tonight and distribute. They're not going to win this basketball game. He knows it. Lakers fans know it. Bettors know it. If the Lakers win this game, it's because of a Herculean effort by LeBron James. And how about the basketball gods, Kevin, coming down and saying, you know what, Kevin? I know you got to do a show tonight on In Play Sports Tonight. We're going to let you do that show, give the best effort you have, and then let you enjoy the Los Angeles Lakers game a little bit later tonight. So we'll be looking forward to this all day long. But obviously, the eyes on Twitter trying to get some updates on Anthony Davis, which looks like he's not going to go tonight. But this game is up to LeBron James.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So I've learned thus far, two games, two Lakers wins, I was wearing a jersey. Two Lakers losses, I was not. So we'll find out how much power I have tonight. We'll certainly figure it out. If I end up having to be on air, like if they win tonight, jersey's on, then if I'm on air and they're playing, I'm wearing a jersey. We'll figure it out, okay? Or you could just, you know, if you need to give me time off, you can, but I'm wearing the jersey. That's just what it is. Look, superstition is real. Those things are powerful, and I refuse to ignore what the universe is telling me. I just want to bring up a couple of more props here. I think Dennis Schroeder makes a ton of sense, 15.5 points. Again, I think he's going to have to step up big time here in the absence of Anthony Davis as a secondary scorer and real creator for this team. On the Phoenix side of things, DeAndre Ayton had 17 rebounds in the last game. Could he perhaps be able to attack the glass a little bit more? His points prop for the first time did go under. Also, it's noteworthy, Donnie, Chris Paul back to kind of his normal numbers there, 14.5 points, assists is 7.5. The book seemingly regained confidence off of that 18-9 performance that CP3 had.
No, correct. And that's what you're aiming towards, because you wanted to see how CP3 would respond. And I keep getting back to the original point, Kevin. This was a time where they didn't think CP3 was even going to play in the last game, and he played well. But also take note, didn't have like a shoulder strap on, didn't have that separated shoulder harness that you see many players wear, or even the kinetic tape that goes all the way down the arm up to the shoulder. Looks like he's improving day to day. Not a good sign for the Los Angeles Lakers, but if you are a prop backer, this is what you expect out of Chris Paul. And in a game that's so big here, we already called out after the game during the post-game press conference, hey, Phoenix, we really need you tonight. I look for an exciting crowd in Phoenix, which is exactly what LeBron likes. Should be a good one here out late night in the desert.
No doubt about it. All right, one more game on the board. Nuggets, Blazers. Nuggets laying 2 in Denver, minus 132 on the money line, plus 112 for Portland to take a 3-2 series lead. The total is 226. First time one of these meetings went under was game number 4. Also, Jokic, only 16 points in 27 minutes of action. Lillard, a disgusting 1-for-10 performance from the field. Both times that the superstars did not have 30 points in that game. A very interesting feeling coming into Denver here, Donnie. What are you thinking for this one?
This is a hard one for me, because if we're going little ebbs and flows here, I got to say, when we're reading lines and trying to get into depth, forget about the actual statistics or what you think is going to happen. That line seems short to me for the Nuggets at -2. So most people would say, oh, if its line seems short, you got to jump right on the Nuggets and think they can win at home. I do think the Nuggets win at home, but I got to tell you, Portland is a live dog on the road in this scenario at only a +2. The question for me is, now we head back to elevation, and as the series progresses and gets a little bit tighter, that means each possession much, much more meaningful, because there's not as many possessions as we saw in game one now that we're heading down the backstretch of this series. The 226 for me usually means I'm jumping on the over, because I know, you know, Dame, they're fluid, they can get after it. Jokic is going to dominate. They're letting him eat down low. I sort of feel an under type situation, but as much as I like the Denver Nuggets in the scenario, that is a stone cold Portland Trailblazers line. And that's the way I'm looking in game 5, which is amazing, because normally I would be saying, where can I sign up for Denver here? Basically just to get a win at home. That's a Portland line to me.
Yeah, for me, I'm looking to back Denver early in this game. Yeah. Mike Malone ripped into this team after the game 4 performance, rightfully so. They head back to Denver, whether it be the first quarter, which they came out and won the first quarter when they lost game 1. In game 2, they won that first quarter by 6 points, or the first half. They've actually held a first half lead in this series in 3 out of 4 games, winning both first halves in Denver. And like, they're minus 128 money line to lay a half a point, minus 115 on Denver in the first half. I expect a much better locked in effort from the Denver side returning home. Points perspective here, I'm coming back to Lillard and Jokic. Look, it's a FanDuel Sportsbook boost that I think it should just become a regular play, although it didn't work out in game 4. Lillard 30-plus points, Jokic 30-plus points. It pays plus 140, Donnie. I think both of those guys coming off of bad nights bounce back and have big nights.
No, and I anticipate that as well. And taking a look at tonight here, you got 3 big games on deck, 1 a closeout and situation. And tomorrow, Kevin, we'll be back with more NBA talk. 4 games on the slate in the playoffs. Exciting times here as we wind down. It's actually open up June after we just wound down May.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Big night for LeBron. Big night for
Lakers.
Let's hope he gets it done. Let's hope he gets it done. All right. We're taking a break here. Come back. Donnie Wrightside and Ariel Epstein let you know what's coming up on the morning after right here on the Early Line.
Some artists work.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment here on a Tuesday morning on the early line, prepping everybody, getting them ready for an exciting and action-packed NBA slate tonight with the Boston Celtics, Brooklyn Nets, Portland Trail Blazers, Denver Nuggets, Los Angeles Lakers, and those Phoenix Suns. But the fun never stops here on the Sports Grid Network as we welcome in the morning after 9 to 12 p.m. today, Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. An action-packed weekend on Memorial Day, Ariel. What are we talking about today on the morning after?
Thanks for having me on. It is going to be a jam-packed day, as you mentioned. A lot of NBA to get to. There was also a bad beat refund over the weekend that a lot of tennis bettors might be happy about from their better friendly book at the FanDuel Sportsbook. You can't get enough NBA action. There's so much value in the futures market right now, especially, Donnie, because Anthony Davis is now questionable, possibly doubtful to play for the Lakers. That's shaken up the Western Conference odds a lot over the weekend.
No, certainly has. And the Clippers getting back into the playoff picture now, going down 0-2, now evening the series to go back 2-2. And also from a Sixers perspective on my side, most people with the Lakers watching that Anthony Davis news, but I am also watching the Joel Embiid news again tonight to see how healthy he will be for the remainder of the series. But a lot of interesting doings. But also getting back to what we talked about last week, Ariel. Post June 1 cuts here, so some big names might be on the move in the NFL. Anything headed your way once again for the Ravens? Any news on possible wide receivers heading to town?
You tease me every single day on this, Donnie. I am just waiting for the news, as you are, that Julio Jones could go to the Baltimore Ravens. It would make my entire world. We are past the deadline. We're going to start to hear a lot more rumblings now when it comes to Julio Jones, who couldn't be dealt until after today. Donnie, the futures market is going to be wide open in the NFL. I can't wait to see who else is dealt around the league.
100 days until the first game for the NFL between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. That'll do it today for the early line. For myself, Donnie Wrightside, and also Kevin Walsh, we hand it over on the Sports Grid Network over to the morning after. Stay tuned for Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.